Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to talk about, in this series, about how to walk in divine health. We're going to talk about the enemy, who the enemy is, and a little bit about how we give him legal right to attack us. Because I've come to learn over the years that sickness and disease is not just something that's just an accident and just some people get it and some people don't. It's a curse from God, and no curse comes upon you undeserved. So I've now realized that God is in control of everything. The enemy is there, and technically speaking, God has made the set of rules. And if we sin, God speaks the curse. And that gives the enemy the legal right to attack us. Now then, if you don't sin, the Word of God is clear. It says the enemy cannot attack you. So we're going to talk about these things. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless the Word as we talk about it today. I ask you to give us revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the mighty Word of the living God. Lord, you made these statements. Reveal to us the truth and the depth of these statements so we will know and understand who the enemy is and what gives him legal right to attack us as your children. I thank you and praise you for the word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to start out with a scripture that's written in 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18, when I first read that, the first several times, I really thought, is it possible for me to even be a child of God? Because this scripture in 1 John 5:18 starts out with a statement like this: my children, do not sin. And I thought, now wait a minute. If it says God's children do not sin, I thought, I know I've sinned since I have become a Christian when I was 11. I know I've done many things that's wrong. So if I have, then maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I never come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So that so intrigued me or bothered me, I wanted to be sure that I was a child of God. Although I didn't live in sin, I knew I'd made a mistake a few times. I knew I had not walked perfect before God. So I went back to the scriptures and really began to research those scriptures in 1 John 5:18. And in the process of researching them, I found out that there was words that went along with the Greek that could make that read like this: my true children do not practice sinning. And that opened a whole new world to me. I thought, okay, Lord, if it means your children don't practice sinning, that means that I don't go out and lie every day. I don't go out and steal every day. So I'm not practicing sinning. But if I were to tell a little lie one day to someone and then I repent, Lord, I'm sorry, I was convicted by the Spirit that I shouldn't have lied, but I did lie to that person. So, Lord, I repent. And so now I'm forgiven. Okay, this made more sense to me. I thought, okay, I can do this. Now, I really am God's child. Now, there's some things, some sins, like murder. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make a mistake and do that. Adultery, I ain't going there. I ain't going to make that mistake. I'm not going to do that. But there is some of those little sins that you might do. But if you break one of them, you're guilty of breaking them all, God says. So the enemy has legal right to torment you. But anyway, I was seeing what the scripture was trying to tell me, that the true children of God don't practice sinning. You may make a mistake, but then you repent and you don't do it again. Or at least not for a long time. So I could go with this. But it says, my children do not sin. Then it says, they keep themselves from evil. In other words, you don't get over into the devil's world, into the evil world of the devil. You keep yourself from evil. And then it says, and the evil one cannot touch you. Or when you really study that out in the Greek, you'll find out he says the evil one cannot attach himself to you. Now then, that means something different than just touching you. The devil can come by and touch you. He can put you to the test. He can put symptoms upon you. He can do those things. But if you are walking in obedience to God's word, when the devil comes and tries to put something on you, puts a symptom upon you, puts a headache on you, puts a pain in your foot or whatever, he's testing you. But if you're walking in obedience to God's word, he can touch you like that, but he cannot attach himself to you. Now then, the only way that you'll be able to allow him to attach himself to you, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, is if when he puts a pain or a symptom upon you, if you agree with the pain or the symptom, if you say with your mouth, "Oh goodness, I got a pain in my foot," or "I got a pain in my hand, I guess arthritis is coming up on me," or "Well, I just got a pain in my elbow, but you know, that's just what they call the old tennis elbow or whatever, so I'll just have that." No, you don't have to have anything unless you agree with the enemy. But most of us never study the word enough to understand these principles. But you can only learn these principles if you really spend a lot of time with God's word. Well, in this series on how to walk in divine health, we're going to be talking about how to break the power of the enemy in your life. Well, he's going to come and put you to the test. God's going to send him. He's going to allow the enemy to put you to the test. When the enemy puts you to the test and comes to you, there is a scripture I had heard quoted many times in James 4:7. "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So when I stepped off into the world finally of going to a few Pentecostal churches, now I didn't have to worry about this in the Baptist church because I was never taught these things. We didn't know these things in the Baptist church. We never cast out demons or healed the sick or nothing like that in the Baptist church. We didn't know it was available to us. What a shame. But one day I went to a Pentecostal church with somebody, and those people were screaming and hollering and raising their hands and casting out devils and falling on the floor and doing all kinds of things. But really wasn't nothing changing. They were still sick when they left, and they might have fell on the floor and did all kinds of things, but they were still just as sick when they left as they was when they came in. And so at least most of them. I didn't see a whole lot happen there either. A lot of activity, but nothing happened. I didn't understand this. So I saw these people and I said, "What are you doing?" They said, "Well, we're resisting the devil and he's fleeing from us." I said, "What scripture is that?" So I went and researched it and found out it was James 4:7. But I found out the way they quoted it to me was not the way it was written in God's word. In God's word it says, "Submit yourself to God." That's the first part of that verse. And then it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So the first and the most important thing you've got to learn, if you want to be free from sickness and disease, you have to submit yourself to God. And I'm going to tell you, to walk in obedience to God's word in today's world that you live in, you're going to have to get where you turn the television, the secular television, off. You can't watch it. There's not anything fit to watch. There may be a program or two out there that might not be too terribly bad, but just normal everyday shows, from what I have heard people talk about and things they watch, and whenever I do go to somebody's home and they're watching television and they flip through the channels, let me tell you, I can't stay there. I can't watch it. I got to go somewhere else. If they get over on a news channel, you watch a little bit of news and then you got to go. Because if you flip from channel to channel, you're going to see some of the most wicked, awesome things. And you don't want those things in your heart. If you watch a few minutes of secular television, you're going to have to ask God to scrub the inside of your heart with the Holy Ghost to clean out all the evil that's put in there. Otherwise, the stuff's going to come out. You know, the Lord says, what's in a man's heart comes out of his mouth. When you see a lovely Christian man or woman that's gentle and kind and sweet, and you think this is the most wonderful person you've ever seen, and then one day they're screaming at you, using foul words of profanity at you. Hey, that's what's in their heart. Because the word says what's in your heart comes out your mouth. And when a person gets under pressure, what's in their heart always comes out. So if anything foul or unclean comes out of your mouth, it's in your heart. You need to ask God to take the Holy Spirit and scrub the inside of your heart. And if you go back and turn the secular television on, it'll be right back in there. You can't keep it clean. You can't put on a beautiful, white, clean gown and go walk through the pig pen and not get dirty again. Just can't do it. So you got to stay away from the things of the world to break the power of the enemy in your life. But when you walk in the world, that's how you give the enemy legal right to you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this enemy. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us who this enemy is. He says in verse 12, "For we wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies." You think about this host. Here we got, from what he's talking about there in Ephesians 6:12, we've got stratas of different demonic forces. And I'm completely convinced that although Paul only named four, I am sure there's many more stratas of these beings than he named. That may be the only ones he knew about. But in my walk with God, in the few years I have, well, I've walked with him all my life, but really walked close the last 30. But in the last 10, I've even got closer. But I believe that there's many stratas of these demons. And these demons, and of course there's fallen angels. He talks about spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Now, those, I believe, are the fallen angels that Satan brought with him when he fell from heaven, when he was Lucifer. But I may be wrong there, but at least that's what I believe. These beings are angelic beings. They were beings of grandeur, powerful, you know, awesome. But they turned their back on God, so he threw them out of heaven. And now they're flying around out here in the second heaven and coming to the earth. And they're what's causing our major problems here because, you know, they're powerful. And they can afflict you with sickness and disease. They can do all kinds of things, but only when they get legal right to you. They just can't come down and attack you anytime they want to. Now, the book of Jude tells us that some of them did that. Some of them left their position of authority or their first estate. They went beyond what God had told them they could do. And the book of Jude tells us those angels are now in chains of prison and locked up in darkness.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.